Hi there. Welcome back to another episode of Habits into Health. This is Michael Ann Conley. I am the host of this podcast show, and I am your habit change agent. I am here to support you in becoming a change agent in your own life, especially about habit change from the inside out. If you're feeling stuck, trapped, worried, caught in a behavior that isn't serving you, or if you care about somebody who's stuck in a habit that is creating problems for them or for you and everybody else around, then this podcast is here for you. One of the things we do here in Habits into Health is we approach habit change from a slightly different perspective than what you'll see out there in a lot of the rest of the world. Because what we understand is that habits don't change just because you change your mind. And they also don't change just by doing mechanical actions. Action is key, connection to what you think is key, but the real process is uncovering all of the invisible layers of every habit that you have that isn't serving you, so that you can reorganize how you are in yourself from the inside out. And we also want to reinforce kindness. So along the way, in every podcast and in all of the Habits into Health work, we talk about loving yourself, caring about yourself, and making a habit of that as well. Now, today's topic is about handling someone else that you're around who's stuck in negative self-talk, or handling yourself if you're the person who's stuck in this habit. Let's start with our Habits into Health practice, because this really follows our motto of letting your body lead so that your mind doesn't have to. And that's because we learn best through our own experience and not by somebody else telling us. So I always like to have a little bit of moment for you to connect and tune into yourself. The focus is on guiding you to know what your own experience is so that you can begin to make the changes you want to make. Let's begin. Since we're discussing negative self-talk, why don't we have you focus on what you think, or let's say where you're thinking. So let's have you ponder this question. What does negative self-talk mean to me? Just think about that. As you're thinking about this, notice how you are using yourself to think. Now, what do I mean by that, you might ask? Well, thinking doesn't happen in a vacuum. It happens inside you, and it involves muscular action patterns. So as you're thinking something, you might check out first what's happening around your eyes, above your eyes, into your forehead, behind your eyes. What's happening in your mouth? As you think, are you subvocalizing? Would you maybe feel something down your throat? When you're thinking, you're not just thinking. Do you pressure your thinking? Push yourself to try to figure it out. What is negative self-talk? How do I do that? When you ask yourself those questions, what happens in you? Do you pressure yourself in your face? Do you stop your breathing? Do you arch your neck? Push forward? Step back? Do you freeze? Begin to become engaged and curious. And does that mean that you're sitting differently or standing differently or walking differently? This is what I mean by how you organize yourself and by focusing on where it is that you think rather than what you're thinking. So pick a spot, let's say. Maybe it's your jaw. Maybe it's your belly. Maybe your hand is made into a fist. Just pick a spot. And whatever you're doing there, do it a little more. What you want to do is discover a little bit more about what it is that you're actually doing. This is something that Stanley Kellerman talks about. He's one of the pioneers in what's called body-oriented therapy or education. And it's a marvelous way of engaging with yourself and really coming to know who you are. So amplify whatever it is you're doing. That might mean compressing your lips, shrugging your shoulders more. It might mean tightening in your belly. Whatever it is, do it a little more. And then do it a little less. And wait, gently. Take it down a little bit more. Whatever it is that your experience is, amplify it, make it bigger or more visible, and then disorganize that and discover what it is that you experience now. What happens? And what do you learn from yourself about that? You are a learning being. And this is magnificent. Now let's have you take a deep breath. And we'll do a little station ID and then we'll get on to our topic. You are listening to Habits into Health. My name is Michael Ann Conley. I am a holistic therapist and I specialize in habit change. And I host this podcast show. I am inviting your feedback. If you listen on iTunes, click the button to give us a review. That will help us get more visibility. Come to habitsintohealth.com. That's my website. And while you're there, check out my ebook. It's called Do You Have a Habit or Does Your Habit Have You? It was really fun to write, and I hope you enjoy reading it. Okay. Let's move on to our topic. There was a day a while ago I was at the credit union making a deposit, and I got into a conversation with the teller, and after learning that I help people succeed in changing their habits, she asked me, "What do you think is the most common problem habit?" And it didn't take very long for me to come up with something that was really obvious to me. So I said, negative self-talk. Maybe it was just that I'd been pondering a question that a reader of an article that I'd written had posed to me. What can I do with someone who is always a Debbie Downer? I have to interact with this person who walks around with a cloud over her head on a daily basis. Now, does that sound familiar? Are you the person who has the cloud over your head? Or the person who's around that? It can be quite a drag, being that person and being around that person. So I wrote down some thoughts that come up for me around this. I'd love to hear your input about your own experience, by the way. Whether you're on either end, you know, the person who's around a Debbie Downer, or if you recognize that that might be you. So here's number one. Trying to counter Debbie's down with your up could backfire. I looked into this a little bit, and there were some researchers at the University of Waterloo, and they looked at the effects of positive affirmations. I've talked a little bit about affirmations in other podcasts, but here's more specifics about that. They discovered that affirmations work great for people who already feel good about themselves or feel hopeful about the future. But what about everybody else? It turns out that people with low self-esteem are more likely to feel worse when they say affirmations. Saying something like, "I am lovable," or "My life is improving," simply increases the gap between where a person wants to be, because we all want to feel lovable or know that our life is improving. But there's a gap between where they want to be and where they actually are. Is that true for you? Like it's hard to hide? Oh yeah, I want to feel lovable, but right now I'm not feeling really lovable. And if I say I feel lovable, That is such a big lie. What do I do with that? It doesn't make me feel better. Those are the kinds of things that people say in response to affirmations. Then there was another study that I read about. They discovered that if you tell a pessimist that she will have a difficult time hitting the center of a bullseye, she will do a better job of hitting the bullseye, more than chance. But if you tell that pessimist that hitting the bullseye will be a breeze, guess what? He'll do worse. Now, if you tell an optimist that hitting the bullseye will be a breeze, they do better. If you tell them they'll have a difficult time, they do worse. So whether affirmations work for you or whether positive feedback works for you may depend on what your baseline is. So this could tell you that if you're trying to cheer up Debbie Downer, it's likely to backfire. It's better to acknowledge her challenges by saying, "You know, I can really tell that you're having a hard time right now." That is actually going to be much more comforting. And if you're feeling down yourself, you might experience other people's attempts at goodwill as pressure. Yuck. And very often, other people don't handle sadness very well. So their attempts to cheer you up are probably a reflection of their own discomfort with you being down. Just know that you can choose your own time frame rather than buying into theirs. And guess what? You can change those typical affirmations into something that resonates with where you are. Something like, "I'm preparing myself to feel more lovable." Or, if you want to carry it out even further, this is what I used to teach my students in the depression class. "Someday in the future, I will begin to feel more lovable." Or, "Someday in the far distant future, I hope to begin to feel more lovable." It's not exactly in the frame of a positive affirmation. It doesn't count according to positive affirmation people. But it's a start in that direction, and if it starts with where you are, then that's a good thing. Next time, I'll talk about more things, about handling being around a Debbie Downer or being one yourself. But for now, it's time to sign off. Please do come to habitsintohealth.com. And if you have a habit that's creating problems for you, or if you know someone in that situation, then come to the website too and request my free ebook. It will help you clarify the issues you're dealing with and give you some tips for how to handle your situation. And last, but definitely not least, remember to start small and be kind to yourself along the way. You've been listening to Habits Into Health, and this is Michael Ann Conley. I am here to help you stop feeling out of control over your unhealthy habits, to stop wondering what you're doing wrong or what's wrong with you, and to start creating a life where you're in charge of them rather than the other way around. Thanks so much for joining me.